One of the stories on the blog today is that Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman is going to reintroduce legislation or an ordinance that would ban urban camping on public and private property in Aurora. And this is something he's been trying to get done for some time. But with the flip of city council, it looks like there's a chance. And Mayor Mike Kaufman from Aurora is joining us now to talk about it. Mayor, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mandy.
So tell me about this. Tell me what you're planning, why you're planning it. Let's talk.
Well, first of all, based on the city charter, when you lose a proposal, which I did in August, you have to wait a minimum of 6 months before you can bring it back. So it will come back on the 7th of September. The 7th of February in what's called a study session for purposes of debate. And then it will come up for a vote on the 14th of February. So I'm pretty optimistic about its passage, given the change in terms of the political dimensions of our city council. So I'm looking forward to implementing a camping ban in the city of Aurora.
What does this particular camping ban look like? Because, and I'm lay the table here, one of the problems with an urban camping ban is that a federal judge ruled that cities cannot ban urban camping unless they have shelter beds available, which I could argue that that's preposterous, but here we are. So how does your proposed ban work within those parameters?
Sure. Well, there's notice provision, so we have 7 days notice. There's case law that says you have to provide them an alternative location, not necessarily shelter beds, but an alternative location. And so we have we'll have safe camping areas. We may have some what's called pallet homes, but it will be an area that will be away from neighborhoods, away from businesses. Obviously, if we have some warehouse industrial area, that would be appropriate if there were space there, and certainly away from schools. And so I think it's just absolutely critical to do this. We've had a fairly significant increase in urban camping over the last 3 years. And there's just the filth, the lack of sanitation, and property crime associated with these encampments. And so it's something that we really need to do as a city.
Mayor, you did something that I thought was fascinating. You completely unaccompanied and without any fanfare, there was no cameras on you the whole time, you lived on the streets as a homeless veteran. So I feel like you have probably better insight than most politicians, if not all. What did that teach you that led you to the belief that this is the way forward for Aurora?
Sure. Well, first of all, there are shelters that are set up, and then there's the encampment population. And the two never mix. I mean, I thought that was really stunning when I was on the street, that those populations never cross over. And so the people that are the economic casualties, particularly in COVID, in the pandemic, you had public health officials saying, don't have somebody who is not a relative in your house. Well, what that did is that displaced a lot of people that clean houses that were no longer than had an income, no longer able to pay their rent. They wound up in shelters, not in encampments, but in shelters. So economic casualties are there. A lot of people in shelters that are chronically homeless, that have drug and alcohol issues, some people with mental health problems. But in the encampment problem is largely a myth problem. And it is to see these young people, shoot up and they were smoking in glass pipes is incredible. Certainly some heroin as well. But that distinction is really important because I think the advocates for the homeless, I would say, and I certainly consider myself one of them, but advocates for the status quo in terms of the homeless to protect them in the encampments will say that these are people that are economic casualties, economic refugees. That simply is not true.
So is Aurora, you were talking about having a place for people to go. Is that something that you guys are looking at expanding to cover yourself? I mean, let's be real. You want to help people, but you have to deal with this ruling. So you have to kind of cover all these bases about making sure that you have a place for people to go or people to set up. But do you think that the urban and urban camping ban in Aurora will be enough to discourage those permanent drug addicted encampers from remaining in Aurora? And it sounds terrible. It sounds terrible. Do you think they're just going to shift over to Denver? And at that point, it's no longer your problem, which I, you know, you've done something. I'm just saying.
So I think two things. I think number one, the fact is that we have outreach teams that go to these encampments every single week and ask them, you know, they provide a laundry list of services for them. And usually, rarely are they taken up on services. And so we have places for them to go right now that they don't go to. We just, CDOT, Colorado Department of Transportation, along I-225 corridor, we had a lot of encampments there along the, you know, Mississippi, Colfax area, those intersections. We worked with CDOT to have them abated, to have them cleaned up. And I think out of 25, I think about four people wanted, actually, they didn't take, they ended up taking the shelter. They ended up leaving the state, going to Arizona. The fact is, there's a lot of things we can try and do. We can try to reunite them with their families. Oftentimes, they become very isolated, and right. and try and reunite them with their families. We have a lot of things we can offer them. But the notion that we have to have on day one, that we have to have shelter for all the people that are living in a campus, is simply not true. First of all, most of them aren't going to take us up on it. And secondly, certainly those who do will accommodate. But an alternative location doesn't necessarily mean a shelter building. It could also mean a safe camping, and it could also mean their tent in a safe camping environment. But we can provide sanitation services. We can provide clean water, and we can provide other services as well for them.
But you intend to take it out of the middle of the city. You intend to make it something that is not, and here's my issue with Denver's safe sites right now. I had an article yesterday where from the collective village, or the village collective that runs these, they're going to serve 370 people, and they hope to get 90 people out off the streets. That's less than 25%. That is not a standard that I think we should look to and think, okay, we should emulate that. I mean, are there going to be more enforcement mechanisms, or is there going to be an effort to enforce the sort of nuisance crime laws that are on the books right now? We've heard some terrible stories out of Union Station of people shooting up and sex acts in public and all of this stuff. Are you going to crack down on that at the same time? Because I got to tell you, I'm of the mindset that until it becomes uncomfortable to live by choice on the streets, people are going to continue to do it.
So I think the big thing is to push staff to follow the ordinance once it's enacted, because there is the people will say, oh, well, they're just moved to another location. But the reality is you've disrupted them and what they were doing, and you had an opportunity to clean it up.
Right.
And if they're disrupted enough, maybe they figure out maybe Aurora, Colorado is not the place to be. Maybe there are some other communities that are more hospitable to that lifestyle.
It's time to get out of this lifestyle.
It's time to get out. That would be the big thing. But let me tell you this. When I was homeless for a week, experiencing homelessness for a week, and I, you know, particularly in the encampments, and people were hard to talk to because they're very suspicious of anybody from the outside because of the activities that they do, that I never ran across somebody who says, you know, I really want out of here.
Yeah,
I really want to get a job. I really want to be able to have my own apartment. I just didn't see that. Well, in fact, didn't see a whole lot of it in the shelters either. But certainly more of it there, particularly for those people that I mentioned that are the economic casualties because of the pandemic or for other reasons. Those people really have a path. They utilize the shelter system because to stay at, to save money, to get their own place back.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to go to work.
Right.
They want to go to work. And it's amazing to meet people that have been chronically homeless for a long time that have absolutely, they would rather be standing on a street corner.
Yeah.
Panhandling. Of course, the big goal in life is to get on Social Security disability.
Sure.
But they'd rather be there than be working. And it just really shocks me. One of the reasons why the encampment people don't like to go to shelters, even when offered, is because of the fact that they're supervised. in those settings. And the on-demand drug use that they do is curtailed.
Dave had something for you. Mayor Mike Coffin is our guest.
Yeah, back in the day, Bob Cote of Step 13, sure. he used to have these coupon books. And each one would say, this is good for one meal. All you have to do is come down and be exposed to Step 13 and what they offer. Sure. He, over the years, had about 100,000 of these things distributed around. Wow. He said, I remember him saying he got about six of them returned.
Oh, yeah.
And that just illustrates the attitude of these people that don't want services.
Well, I think what was shocking, you know, unfortunately, I was not able to stay. I stayed in a shelter in Aurora, but not a homeless encampment. Because the one that I had wanted to go to that I went to had been abated right before I got there. So, but I did stay in homeless encampments and shelters in Denver. And what amazed me is that, you know, well-meaning people literally would bring out food, more food than I can eat. When I was staying in the encampments in Denver, well, I stayed one for several days, I think two nights, 3 days in one. But people would just bring out food. I was just shocked about the, you know, it's the generosity of people. Although the only problem is they are sustaining a very dangerous lifestyle for these young people.
Mike, that has been a big frustration for me because I have friends that do this and they are the biggest hearted people in the entire world, but they don't see that they are enabling someone to live like a feral animal. And that's what this is. You know, when we have people living in tents with no running water, no access to toilets, they're living like feral animals. And I don't see how anything done to support that is a positive. You know, I just don't. And I'm super frustrated. I do think it's interesting that, especially in the Denver metro, we are now seeing neighborhoods organize because of these issues. Are you seeing the same things in Aurora as well?
I'm sorry, in terms of organizing?
Are people beginning to organize in Aurora? That is because they're organizing in Denver because the Denver metro is not doing anything about the situation.
In opposition, yes. The ground has really shifted. Mm-hmm. I remember certainly the majority supported, I think, in terms of communications that I would get from residents, the majority certainly before the camping ban. It's overwhelming now, this time that I'm bringing up. People are they're fed up with the filth. They're fed up with the unsanitary conditions and all the trash. And they are fed up with the property crimes associated with a number of these folks in our community. And so I think that people just had enough.
Yeah.
They just had enough. And I think we need to be compassionate, to these people in this situation, whether we agree, disagree. But at the same time, we have to be fair to the taxpayers of our city, that the residents who get up every morning and go to work, whether they want to or not, and share in the adult responsibilities of life that, you know, these people have just totally abandoned. I will say that there are people that are mentally ill out there.
Yeah.
I think the difference is in the people that are camping, they tend to be isolated, alone, and they lead wretched, horrible lives. And that's a sad thing, that there's not, if they're not a harm to themselves or somebody else, and they're mentally ill, I mean, schizophrenic. Now, the advocates, the so-called advocates for the homeless will say everybody's mentally ill. Well, that's just not true. A lot of people are drug addicted. I don't classify that as a mental illness.
But
it's a terrible situation.
I have a family member whose son was diagnosed with schizophrenia at 19, ended up dead at 26 with a heroin needle in his arm. How is that compassion? My issue here is that everybody talks about compassion, but I don't think we've clearly defined what compassion is. And in my mind, compassion is not enabling people to live on the streets, whether they are mentally ill or not. It's not compassionate. And I think that's an important point we need to make.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult. I mean, for the people that are mentally ill, I mean, I really do feel sorry for them. We're going to have to, the camping ban will apply to them. We hope that they'll accept treatment. If they don't accept treatment, there's nothing we can't force them into treatment, even though that there are drugs that would stabilize their behavior in the case of schizophrenia. But they have to be willing to take them.
And I will tell you that as a family member, there's nothing you can do when someone becomes an adult. And that I'm a libertarian. I never want to infringe on someone's civil liberties in any way, shape, or form. But my argument at this point in time, based on my lived experience, is that people who are severely detached from reality cannot be responsible for themselves. And that is something that we're going to have a conversation about going forward. Mayor Mike Kaufman, so this is going to come up on the 6th. What kind of time frame would you expect on this before you can reasonably see it enacted?
Oh, I think we're going to try and enact it right away.
Oh, good.
And we're not going to, you know, I mean, there might be a little bit of time for staff to gear up. But the fact is, we're doing some abatements now. The difference is that it is staff, i.e. unelected bureaucrats, that make that decision about whether or not a particular encampment should be abated or not. This doesn't leave it up to them.
Right.
This just says unauthorized camping is unauthorized camping, and we just want to be done with it. And, you know, let's move forward with this.
All right. That's Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman. Thank you for your time. And I'm sure we'll talk again when you get sued.
We will get sued. I'm looking at the case law right now. I'm prepping up.
Because that's going to happen. But here's hoping that finally Aurora can demonstrate how to handle this problem, because what we're doing in other areas is not working.
And there's a Councilman Sundberg who's new, and he's going to put forward a proposal for these coupon books and things like that that people can buy to provide services, as opposed to giving them cash on the street corner. And we want to do we're going to go in a work first direction, and so we feel that we want to, for people, whether in the emergency housing or whatever they're in, we want to get them to work.
All right. That's Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman. Thank you for your time today, Mayor. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.